Andrea Pippins joins me in the studio. She's a designer and illustrator who teaches design at the Maryland Institute College of Art and writes a blog called Fly Girl. Next week, she's publishing a coloring book for grown-ups. It's called I Love My Hair, a coloring book of braids, coils, and doodle-doos. Andrea Pippins, it's great to meet you.
Thank you so much.
So describe this book for folks.
Well, this book is a dream project. A lot of my work in the past has always been covering hair. And basically, it's a coloring book to coloring illustrations and things that I just love to draw. So I'm a drawer, I'm an illustrator, but giving people the opportunity to use my work as a baseline for their own creative expression.
And so hair has always been a thing for you. I mean, if you look at your blog, there's a lot of stuff
yes.
about hair and stuff. So where did that come from?
Well, I started when I was in grad school. I had a thesis project called I Love My Hair, and it was a social campaign to encourage women of color, black women specifically, to go natural. So the idea of not using harsh chemicals to straighten their hair. So the campaign was basically just having affirmative messaging to go natural. And from there, my work kind of just springboarded into all of these different kinds of illustrations regarding hair. And I'm drawn to how elaborate braids can be, or the idea of an Afro being gravity defying. So it just became this theme throughout my work.
Yeah. And so you put it into a coloring book. First of all, this coloring book for adults, this is like a thing now,
isn't
it?
It's huge.
It's so
huge.
The New Yorker magazine wrote a thing about somebody who did one about the secret garden, mm-hmm. And it sold 2 million copies.
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy.
So crazy. I think people in general, but, you know, adults right now are just really excited about using something tactile to have a form of creative expression. So, you know, we're always on our digital devices. We're in front of a computer screen all day. So having an opportunity to do something that's a little bit different and nostalgic, I think, is what's making this trend happen.
Yeah. So they're not just for little kids anymore.
No way.
And the designs that you've come up with in this really amazing book are certainly not something you'd want to let a 7-year-old loose on. I mean, you know, you could really do some really fun stuff. Some of them have text, some of them
right.
are, you know,
right.
some of them are a head of hair, other things are, you know, just lots and lots of different designs. You do a lot of branding and design work for clients.
Yes.
Tell us about that kind of work.
My background, I've always worked when I was working professionally. I always worked as an in-house designer. I worked at Hallmark Cards. I worked at TV Land, Nick at Night, and learned a lot about branding. And it's something that I've always really was interested in. And so my client work usually is around logos, promotional materials, things that really relate to making this brand stand out.
So how does hair then get interpolated into branding for, you know, these various companies?
You know, it's funny because when I started posting a lot of my work on the blog, especially a lot of the hair pieces that I was doing, a lot of new brands like hair products, hair salons, hair magazines reached out to me about doing branding because they saw this illustration and seeing how I could incorporate that illustration into possibly a logo for their business. So
they found you.
Yes.
Because they said, here's a designer who's doing stuff that
exactly.
is in our industry.
Exactly.
Interesting. What are your concerns about people's perceptions of hair, particularly of African-American women? Is it the culture at large that you're trying to address, or is it black women themselves trying to get them sort of over, you know, barriers or concerns that they may harbor themselves?
I think the biggest issue still today is a beauty standard that is unattainable for a lot of people, and this lack of appreciation for different kinds of textures and hair and hairstyles. And I'm hoping that the book just encourages everyone to embrace their hair and just love it and see it as just something that's fun and can be transformative within a style.
Do you think norms of beauty and what is considered beautiful and what is considered a beautiful hairstyle, have they changed a lot, you know, in the last 10 years, 30 years?
I think so, because I went natural in 2001. Back then it wasn't that long ago, but I didn't have a lot of resources when I was going natural, but now their resources are aplenty, and you go to Target or Walmart, you can find natural hair products for African-American hair, which is great. Just the way that it has bloomed in the last decade has
and
been
yeah,
phenomenal.
15 years ago, you couldn't find those
exactly,
products. Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting, yeah. Because everybody expresses herself in a different way.
Absolutely.
So it's not like it's a bad thing necessarily if you choose to, you know, color your hair red or green or
exactly.
something. But you're saying that there's got to be options for people who want to do it.
Right, and have fun. Yeah. You know, hair is, it's a way to express style and to, you know, show your creative interest. It's another form of creative expression. So I just hope that people really have fun
yeah.
with their hair.
And is there a backlash, though, do you think? I mean, are there people who are saying, well, you know, you're not natural, you know, therefore you should be? Is it kind of like, you know, is it possible that the pendulum could swing the other way?
I hope not. I know that when I first went natural, I was a little radical with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just really wanting people or, you know, women of color to just embrace their coils. But, you know, it's really to each its own. And I've really grown to understand how important it is to let people decide as an individual what they want to do with their hair, with their bodies in general.
You know, when we see pictures of people from the 60s, for example, mm-hmm. in the civil rights era, you know, people marching and stuff, the hairstyles were one thing. And then you see people in the 70s and the 80s, you know, hippies and all that stuff,
right.
and the hairstyles, you know, as things evolved later in the 20th century. When we look back, when you're an old woman, which is a long way from now, you know, when you look back at this period, the 2000s, the 2010s, what do you think the look is going to be that people, you know, your grandchildren are going to look and say, oh, Grandma, look how you guys wore your hair back then. What will be the signature look, do you think?
You know, I think it would still be the Afro. You know, it's a classic style, but the Afro of today is very different from the Afro of the 60s and 70s. I think there's a style called the twist out, which is my go-to, and it's just like a, I guess, more textured Afro, and I think that
yeah,
was
so. Just how do you do that? How do you get a twist out?
So
you got to work at it, or is it?
You
just
do have to work at it. Uh-huh. So with my hair, actually, my hair is in twists right now, and it's taking just two small sections of hair and twisting it around each other, and then after a few days, letting it out, so untwisting it, and then it kind of gets bushier and bigger as the days move forward. So I think that would be the signature style for this natural hair movement of today.
The care of hair is oftentimes something that you share with your family.
It's an intimate moment when somebody has their hands in your hair, and just thinking about the relationships that people have with their stylists, you know, going to the salon and sharing intimate details about their lives and things that are happening. Or I remember my mom doing my hair on the weekends. That was our time to catch up on the week, what was happening, or just, you know, talk and have fun. So yeah, it's a very special time.
It's interesting because there are some women who, it seems to me at least, that change their hair dramatically, mm-hmm. like weekly, you know, or
yes.
monthly or something like that. I mean, what do you think that indicates?
I think that is someone who just doesn't take their hair too seriously, whether it's going really short or adding a really bold color. I think it's someone who's just looking to have fun and switching up their style a little bit.
So how do you create these images? Are these all hand-drawn?
This was a very different project for me in terms of creating the final piece, because typically I use design software to do my illustrations. But yes, this was all done by hand, and I scanned in each of the drawings and cleaned them up in a program called Photoshop to make sure there aren't any little eraser spots or ink blots. I did a ton of research to really kind of grasp the content.
I think this would be a very soothing thing. You're right about, you know, our reliance on our devices. You know, we're tapping away on our iPads and on our phones all the time. This is something you just get a pencil or a crayon or something.
And just sit,
know,
and,
yeah.
and you could take it anywhere you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's great to meet you. Thank,
thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Andrea Pippins, the new book is called I Love My Hair, a coloring book of braids, coils, and doodle-doos. It's published by Schwartz and Wade. It's available next Tuesday. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. Join us on Friday when we'll start a new series we're producing in conjunction with our colleagues at the Baltimore Brew. It's called The Accountability Index. Till then, for Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.